This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. On the program this afternoon, our monthly show about computers. We take up the topic each month on the third Monday of the month. Our guest this month is Peter Kimball. He is with the University of Illinois. He is the Education Program Coordinator and Lead Faculty Trainer for the University's Technology Consortium, FAST 3, at the Center for Teaching Excellence. If you've got a question about computers, give us a call. Talk to Peter. He'll be happy to help you out. If you're listening in the Champaign-Urbana area, the number is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, if it would be a long-distance call, a toll call, use the toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. WILL. Peter, welcome back. Good to see you.
It's good to be back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. It's been a while since we've seen you.
Well, it was about Thanksgiving time,
yeah,
as I recall.
That's right. Well, we've got a listener ready to talk with you this afternoon on line one. Go ahead.
I'm in the process of buying my first computer, and I was using my son's, but he's now rejected that. I was maybe considering an Apple, maybe a laptop. But what I'm wondering is that what, you know, in terms of the downloading, let's say for this kind of program, I understand, what do I really need, or what, you know, capacity, or what, or even also music and such? Is there anything special that I should be looking for?
Well, one of the things you have to ask yourself and think about is your primary uses for the machine. Some people, of course, only use it for email and surfing the web, but if you're going to be downloading a fair amount of music or videos, then you're going to need, yes, a relatively powerful machine in terms of playing the video comfortably, but also a fair amount of hard drive storage. But almost, the good news is, almost any machine that you get, whether you go with a Macintosh or the Macintosh laptop, or on the Windows side of things, is going to have adequate capacity. You'll want to look for a fairly large hard drive. That would typically be, at the entry level, a lot of machines may only have 60 or 120 gigabyte hard drives, but it's almost no expense from most companies to up that to 200, 300, even 400 gigabytes, and you can never really have too much hard drive space. You'd also want to make sure that it's got plenty of what's called RAM memory. Some machines ship with a fairly stingy amount of RAM. That's the memory that's in the machine. It's not the permanent hard drive space, but it's the memory that holds all of your actively running programs.
Oh, okay.
And that should be, these days, an absolute minimum of 512 megabytes, and I would actually recommend at the time you're purchasing it, because it's usually a little bit cheaper going up to a full gigabyte. That's 1,000 megabytes of RAM.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
You're welcome. Next, we talk with a listener on line two. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having this service. I have a question about an iMac, old iMac that we have at home. It's an old G3, and I recently updated the software to the Mac OS 10.4.8. And when I went to recently use iMovie, which I haven't used for a long time, it's not on the computer. So I went to Mac's website and looked, thought maybe I could download it, but it doesn't seem there's any way to download it without buying it. I did have somebody give me a couple discs of iLife, but those are on DVDs, and this Mac only has a CD drive. So it seems like I'm stuck without iMovie.
You may be, because some of that has started to be bundled in to the newer operating systems and to the hardware. So the question is, I'm just looking to see if I can find anything. You said you've already looked for the, and this was an iBook?
It's an iMac.
Oh, an iMac, an iMac G3, okay. And if we're looking for iMovie, and I presume you've already done this.
Yeah, on the support website under downloads, I do find a bunch of hits, and I went back to, I thought, let's see, there was iMovie 4.0.1, but that's just an update, so you have to have 4.0.
You have to have 4.0, yes, okay.
I did find iMovie 3.03, where it says information and download, but I could not, even though the information page talked all about it and it seemed like that would do it, there was no link anywhere for the actual download.
Yeah, I'm seeing the iMovie Updater 3.0.3, but that is, as you said, just an updater. When you installed the new operating system for the Mac, was that a commercial update? Did you download the pay and update that from?
Yeah, from Apple.
From Apple.
Yeah,
and it's the 4.0. Whatever it is, OS 10.
10.4.8.
Yeah. I'm afraid I don't have a really good answer for you at this point.
Okay.
In addition to trying the Macintosh site, the other thing I would do, and I could actually take a quick look at this, would be from the Google site to actually do a search for iMovie on, iMac G3 and include the OS 10 4.x, whatever it may be. And you'll find I just got about 900 hits with those phrases. Obviously, most of them not what you're going to be looking for, but there may well be iMovie frequently asked questions or difficulties. You know, you can include the word difficulty or can't run or can't update, and that is often something that you'll be able to find doing that
search. Yeah, I forgot the Google option.
Really. Yeah, the Google or many of the other, but Google is probably the most common one. And you can almost find any sort of solution you wish. The catch is, of course, being able to come up with the appropriate keywords. But spending about 10 or 15 minutes with that usually will allow you to narrow it down to some relatively relevant hits that you can then hopefully solve your problem with.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You're very welcome. Other telephone calls are welcome this afternoon for Peter Kimball. If you've got a question about computers, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL.
You know, that last question brings to mind a number of problems that people will often have with updating software in place, because it's so much easier to start with a total clean installation of a software package rather than update, because you don't end up with a lot of these various problems, drivers or little bits of software that don't work. It's certainly true on the Windows side. You may recall back in November we talked about there was one caller, I believe, who asked, I'm thinking about buying a new computer. I know that the new version of Windows isn't coming out until later, so should I just buy one now and then update it to Windows Vista when it comes out? And the general advice, and it's not just mine, it's pretty much universal, is that if you don't need the machine right away, at least on the Windows side of things, you're likely to make your life much simpler if you wait and purchase it from the manufacturer with that new operating system installed, rather than get the kit, even though it may be free, to update and upgrade the operating system yourself.
Yeah. And also, I suppose, go with what you can afford up
Certainly.
Front, too. As well. So the first caller, that might be some helpful advice for him as well.
One of the things that we've done frequently is we will look at the bare minimum requirements that we have, but then we will up the ante quite a bit with the idea of keeping the machine relatively current and not too far behind the state of the art for 2 or 3 years into the future. That's sometimes a better economy than saving up $200, $300, $400 initially.
Yeah. Let's talk with another listener. Caller on line one. Hi.
Hello. Well, I think I have a rather involved problem. I found that I didn't have enough space on the C drive for the operating system and decided to clear out some old files and give myself a little more room. When I did it, I apparently... Well, I used the procedure that's in Windows for cleaning up the drive, and it apparently, for some reason, deleted some important files, INF files, I believe they're called.
Yes. Those are often files that various video drivers use to, or other software drivers, to figure out how to install little bits of software that allow the machine to talk to.
Well, I decided it would be after finding out that there were a lot of them, apparently, to reinstall Windows, and I decided to upgrade from Windows Home Edition to the XP Pro.
Yes.
Now I've got some problems. It no longer recognizes either the modem or the Wi-Fi card. And also the video display is a 15-inch laptop, and it's showing about a 14-inch display. I think that might have something to do with reinstalling the BIOS, but at any rate, I think I installed the wrong BIOS. So there's apparently different BIOSes for the very similar HP computers. But I'm wondering how I'm going to find the get the machine to recognize the.
Well, especially your Wi-Fi card,
yeah.
And the modem, of course. Well, the and it's an HP laptop, you say.
Right.
Much of the circuitry, probably including the modem, but probably not including the Wi-Fi, but possibly. Are built into the actual motherboard. A typical desktop machine might have a separate card or a separate circuit board for example, the Wi-Fi, the wireless connection. So if you haven't already done so, you want to go to the HP site, to their support area.
Mm-hmm.
Specify the precise, you can find this on the, probably on a sticker in the bottom of the machine or someplace, the precise model number and whatever other identifying codes it has, so that you can get to that particular part of the HP site. There should be available then, and you may not do this quite in the same order, you may first go to downloads at the HP site and then find your particular model number. But they should have the downloads for the current version, the most recent updates for the Windows XP Professional. It really isn't going to matter too much whether it's for the drivers, which version it is. But Windows XP for the Wi-Fi for your particular machine, for the modem. And you can also look and see if there's an updated video driver, which there may well be. That would be, the source would be to go to HP for much of that.
Mm-hmm.
That may well, with any luck, fix your problems once you have downloaded the appropriate software and replaced those and updated and replaced those drivers.
But it shouldn't make any difference that I was going from it's probably an HP specific XP Home and trying to go to the standard. XP Pro.
No, that in itself is not really the problem. The problem is that when you had the HP-specific XP Home version,
mm-hmm.
Hewlett-Packard had included the appropriate drivers for the hardware that's in your machine, so everything worked fine. When you just bring in the generic Windows XP Professional version, it ships with standard generic drivers for such things as Wi-Fi cards and anything else that it can find.
Right.
But those are probably not, and in your case, you've demonstrated that they are not the appropriate drivers for the actual hardware that's built into your HP. The INF files would have given instructions on how those drivers can be installed and how they should be configured, but all of the information that you need, including the INF files and the actual driver software itself, is what you will need to get from Hewlett-Packard. HP is very good at having those downloads available, and that's what you lost when you downloaded the generic, you know, standard version of Windows.
Yeah, you think there might be a specific XP driver for the Wi-Fi.
There may well be.
Yes,
there quite possibly is. Or if Hewlett-Packard, I don't know the precise architecture of this machine, but depending on how Hewlett-Packard got their Wi-Fi driver, whether they built it into their own motherboard, which is certainly possible, or whether they have just a little internal plug-in slot that you don't even see that's got the built-in Wi-Fi, then certainly if it is a built into their motherboard, it's going to require Hewlett-Packard's own specific driver for it.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll go back to their home web pages again and look through there and see what I can come up with.
Yeah, it's Hewlett-Packard is a fairly good-sized site, but you should be able to find, I'm just taking a quick look at it now, software, and on the main page, there's a software and driver downloads page, and then it says what's the product, and you would simply type in the particular product name, and there's even a link down there to how do you find your product name and number, etc. And from there, you should be able to find it. There's actually, depending upon how things are set up, if you're doing this from your HP, assuming you have, I guess, do you have any way of connecting to the Internet on the...
Yeah, I've got another desktop computer that is connected to the Internet, and I've been loading the files onto a flash drive to transfer them.
Which should be no problem at all.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be exactly where you want to go, and you can simply specify the product and see what you've got. So I'm just going to give one of their samples here. They say Pavilion. What if they type Pavilion 7955? I know that's not your machine. It says, all right, we've got a whole bunch of these, and it lists five or six desktops, the U.S. version, and now it's got a whole series of things about downloading. Software and driver downloads, and it says here you are, and it's got just all kinds, and it's under Windows XP, and now I've got drivers for the modems, drivers for the keyboard, drivers for the BIOS, drivers for the drivers, you know, it's 50, 60, 80, I don't know how many things are on there. So I think you'll find what you need going that route.
Yeah, you have to be a little careful with HP because they have so many models.
Yes, and you have to be real specific with that too.
I think what I did at first was it's an HP Pavilion ZED 500, and I think I got an XED.
That would probably be not good.
No, it apparently wasn't. So I guess I go back and reinstall everything, and then.
Well, you may not need to reinstall everything. So you're saying you actually downloaded their version of.
I got the wrong download.
Okay. That would certainly be one approach. You may also possibly, if you think it's only those few areas, be able to try downloading just the drivers for that specific machine.
Yeah.
But yes, if that doesn't work, then you back up. You're going to punt and just download the whole thing again for that specific machine.
Well, thanks. You're always so much help.
Great.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other questions are invited for Peter Kimball. If you've got a question about a computer, give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, we have a toll-free number you can use, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. No one waiting at the moment. Is there a topic that you'd like to pick up while we get the next caller lined up?
Well, let's see. Well, the news is, of course, the biggest news that's coming up, at least on the Windows world, is the impending release of Microsoft Vista.
Mm-hmm.
The question that I've been asked a number of times is, should I upgrade or should I not? And my answer generally is, if you're going to be getting a new machine, certainly you want to get it with Vista installed. Vista does have more security. Does that mean that it's going to be bulletproof? No, there's nothing that's going to be totally secure, and because Microsoft has been making such a big push towards security, Vista has a huge target painted on its back, and everybody who is in the hacking or other community, for developing adware or malware is going to be looking for that, and with tens or hundreds of millions of lines of code, there will definitely be problems, but it should be much more secure than the actual XP. For those who have a machine that's doing what they need, it's within the last 2 or 3 years, unless they need some of the new features that are in Windows Vista, there's no impelling reason to go out and buy it right now. And for those who have a machine that's probably more than 4 years old, it's going to take a number of hardware updates to be able to run Vista. And so you may want to wait until you actually just get a whole new machine.
When is Vista due out?
To consumers, it's already out for some businesses, but for consumers and in the shelves, it's supposed to be out by the 30th of January, end of this month. And we're at the Ides of January already.
That's right. Today's the 15th. Well, what do you say we take another call? A listener on line 4, toll-free line. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Sure.
I have considerable problems in using my computer, and I blame a lot of them on Bill Gates' Windows. in his way he's engineered it. But anyway, one of the problems is I keep getting a pop-up now that comes on and says Windows has found spyware. And that thing will come up and cover up a portion of the lower right-hand part of my screen, and it points to something down there. And I've run this LavaSoft thing.
Yes, Adaware.
Every day I run it, and it takes off a bunch of spyware stuff. And one whole day, this did not come on. This, I call it cancer thing that says your computer is infected. And now it's on again, and you get rid of it, you click on it, you get rid of it, and it's back again in about 5 or 10 seconds. And...
Well, the question is this a actual legitimate window box, or is this a aspect of some malicious software that's just doing this? What does the box actually want you to do? Does it want you to click on a link and go to a website, or...
Yeah, your Windows is infected. Windows has detected spyware infection. It is recommended that you use special anti-spyware tools to prevent data loss. Windows will now download and install the most up-to-date spyware for you. Click here to protect your computer from spyware. And the icon it's pointing to is a red circle with a white X in it, which I think is Norton antivirus.
The actual terminology, I don't think that this is, it does not sound like an actual Windows message box.
It may not be.
And so the question is, are you running, what, Norton antivirus currently? Or do you?
Yeah, I have that, and that's another problem. That Norton antivirus shows up in these information bars above the usable part of the screen, and it's taken up one whole bar space. It says Norton antivirus, and it has an icon there. It's wasting that much of my screen also.
So that's a bar across the very top, not of just a browser window, but of the entire screen, even if you've just got the desktop showing.
I don't know about the desktop, but for example, I have the current screen on there, and then I have the thing with the back and forward arrows. And then below that is Norton antivirus word and icon, and then the whole bar is taken up by that. And then there's Google and there's web.
Okay,
search.
So that sounds like you're there in your that's in your browser then, in Internet Explorer or whatever the browser is.
That.
Yeah, that's just a window that has the buttons at the top right hand side of the screen, the little line and the box and the X.
It's two lines below that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So this is, and are you running, I presume, Microsoft Internet Explorer is the browser? It probably says that over towards the left-hand side on the dark blue bar.
I'm using Internet Explorer,
okay.
And it's Windows XP.
Sure, okay. So what you're seeing there in terms of the antivirus, that's just the way Norton and some other programs actually show themselves. You can probably... any place in, this is not the initial question, but you can probably, there in that menu where it says file, edit, view, and all that kind of thing.
I cannot get that anymore. We tried to cure this, and we did some different things, and now I can't get that window that shows a file.
Do you have the window that shows the back button and the forward button and all of that, or that particular line?
Yeah. They're on the top line, but the
okay.
It went to a different kind of arrows than I used to have, and it's not as convenient anymore.
Right. Well, it sounds like there have been a number of things that have been installed, probably not intentionally, to do that and make those changes. If you, let's see here. If you position your mouse pointer on to the right-hand side of that button bar that's got all those buttons. Is there any space over there where there aren't any buttons? It's just actually some blank bar over to the right-hand side of the screen after the back button and all the rest. Do you have any blank space over there?
A top line that has a back button on it?
Yeah. Is there space over to the right of that after all those various buttons?
The right-hand thing is a thing that says Google, and it has a magnifying glass and a... either a dot or a minus.
Well, try putting your mouse pointer over that and clicking the right mouse button.
On that right-hand icon?
Well, on almost any of them, I think. For example, on the back button, try...
All right, I've clicked it, and it
You get a pop-up that says things like standard buttons, address bar, links, etc.
Oh, move, see, no, move, size, minimize...
Okay, just press escape to... that's not the menu that we wanted. So just press the escape to get rid of that or click away. And now move the mouse button down, not on that same top bar, but down on one of the other bars at the top,
okay,
and try right-clicking again.
The bar that has Norton on it.
Okay, and when you right-click, do you see a different kind of pop-up menu that has, like, checkboxes?
Yeah, links, status bar, Norton antivirus is checked. Yahoo toolbar, Google is checked. Lock the toolbars, use large icons, or customize command bar.
Okay, you can turn off the use large icons there. If you don't want to see the Norton at that point, you can click on the Norton bar, and that will get rid of that one.
Okay, I clicked on that. Now the whole bar disappeared.
Right, and if you want it back, you can right-click on one of the existing bars, and you can turn it back on again. So that's how you can control the way it looks. And if you right-click on one of those bars and...
Yeah, I see.
You can deal with that, and there's the customize choice down there. I guess you probably don't want to get into that much, but what you can do is you can also choose customize. That's one of the menu choices that you had when you popped that up, and there's a button there that you can click on the customize toolbar to reset the toolbars the way they were. So that's the interface, the way that you can control some of the things that Internet Explorer does.
Yeah.
But the question still remains about your initial pop-up message down below. And what we have to determine, and we may not be able to do it too easily in the time available to us, is that a pop-up message that is a legitimate message? I don't want to cause any paranoia, but some
spyware... Well, I think
spyware,
I clicked on it when it, the very first time it came up, which has been over probably several months ago, I clicked on it, and it... I think then it came up with something called Pest Trap.
Okay, so yes, what that pop-up message is essentially an advertisement for a company. It is not a Windows-type message. It is essentially adware, or spyware, some sort of malware.
Yeah.
Apparently, LavaSoft, the adware, is not finding it. I would also try in addition to that program, you might try to download SpyBot. That's from www.safernetworking.org. Or you could do a SpyBot search in Google.
Safernetworking.org.
I believe. Let me double check on that for you.
And also it seems that these things have to be updated from time to time,
Yes, they
too.
Do. Every one of them has to be...
Adware and SpyBot.
Adware, SpyBot, and all the rest have to be updated. And, of course, those programs, while they're still relatively... essential, they are becoming less effective as those writers of malware and such know how to work around them. They're fairly brute force approaches, and it's getting a little bit more difficult. The actual location for the SpyBot Search and Destroy program is www.safer-networking.org. So it's the word safer, and then a hyphen, and then the word networking.
Hyphen in there, okay.
Yeah, and then
.org.
And that's, now SpyBot, I believe, has both a free version and a slightly more professional version that you pay for. The free version should be fine. You'll get it downloaded, you'll update it. That may find some things as well, but some of this, and what you've got is essentially an infestation of some sort. It is some program that is doing that in the hopes of getting you to click on it, to take you to a web page, to get you to download something and buy something. That's the friendly version. The not friendly version is trying to get you, and I don't know what you have, but we'll hope that it's just the friendly one. But the really nasty one is actually giving you that message to try to get you to click on something and download even more spyware and nasty things to your computer.
Okay, I hope that helps. Let's take another call now for Peter Kimball, a listener on line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a quick question that came up from earlier and a main question. Real quick, what kind of firewall would you recommend if I was going to purchase a firewall for my laptop?
This is going to be a laptop you use primarily at home?
Yeah.
There are two basic kinds of firewalls, hardware and software. One of the things that you can do that actually is fairly effective, it's not so much directly a firewall, but it will tend to isolate you a little bit from the network, is if you install a wireless router.
Oh, and I have one of those.
Okay. And, of course, we hope, if you haven't already done so, you want to make sure that you've enabled the security so that people can't just drive by and sort of start
right,
using your...
Right, with the key.
Yes, with the key. And what that does, among other things, is it makes... It adds a barrier between your machine and the network, the outer internet, so that people can't scan for vulnerable computers. That is not a replacement for a firewall, but it is certainly a good layer of protection to have.
Okay.
Firewall, is this a Windows machine or is this a Macintosh? Windows XP has a built-in firewall. It is minimal, but if you don't have anything else, it works fairly well. It's an inbound firewall. It essentially prevents intrusions from outside into your machine. What it does not do in this particular version is if there's software that somehow already got on your machine, it doesn't prevent it from calling out to the mothership, to the wherever it needs to send its information to.
Okay.
So there are a number of software packages for that. You can do a Google search for firewall. I would include the word reviews. Zone Alarm is pretty well reputed. They make a firewall product. They make both a free one and one that is a little bit more powerful and a little bit more effective and sells for something like $30 or $40 or so.
Okay.
And what it will do is it will also configure itself so that programs it knows about, things like your email program and your web browser and such, it will say, okay, it's fine for them to talk to the internet. But other programs, the first time they're used, is they'll these programs such as Zone Alarm and others will pop up a window saying, hey, this program is trying to talk to the internet. Do you want to allow it this time only? Do you want to allow it forever because you know what the program is, or do you want to not allow it?
Okay.
So that, in combination with, because a firewall does not replace having antivirus protection.
Yeah, I have an antivirus.
Okay, and you're updating it regularly.
Yeah.
Typically, you can set it so that it updates itself. Norton, yeah. Which was mentioned earlier, for example, pretty much has an update almost every day, five or six a week. McAfee?
Yeah, I think so.
And again, you can set those up, and probably the default installation is that they will update themselves, but you can open up the program and make sure that updating is set to happen. The firewall needs to be updated periodically.
Okay.
You should run the, but just all kinds of things to do.
Run
a, you know, something like we were just talking about SpyBot or AdAware. Run those periodically with updated versions and updated definitions. And that in conjunction with your wireless router will protect you as long as you don't click on the wrong thing on the internet.
Okay, and I also have a really bizarre situation. There's a cafe in town that I go to, and every time I go to the cafe, my computer gets the blue screen of death and crashes. And when I first got my laptop about 2.5 years ago, I would go there, and then they got the wireless internet, and so I would go on it. And it took a couple times of being on the internet, and then it was like once I signed on the internet, maybe 5 minutes later, it would crash. Now it's to the point where I walk in, turn my computer on, it doesn't even want to like turn my computer on all the way, and it crashes and tries to start itself over again. And I've talked to the owners about this, and they've never heard anybody else complaining about this. And I'm wondering if that makes sense to you. I mean, it doesn't happen any other time anywhere else I've ever been. I do wireless all over town, all over the state, and it's never happened except this one place that I go to.
That is fairly bizarre, and no, I've not heard of that happening at one place only, unless it's some place that you know, has their wireless connection and their server infected with something that's trying to infect you. But if they've not had this problem with other users, that would take a little bit more detective work than we can really do. What you could do, depending, of course, when you're going to the cafe, you want to use the internet with your computer. But if you want to avoid that and just use the computer to compose email and send it elsewhere, you could, before you go there, use the software controls to turn off the wireless.
Yeah, I've tried that.
Oh, and it still doesn't?
Yeah.
Okay, so that implies...
Maybe I tried it there, so I'll try it beforehand.
Yeah, try it beforehand and see.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot for your help. I appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with a listener on line two. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Boy, when I go to a cafe, I guess all I want to think about is the food.
Well, yeah, unless you're trying to get away from home or something.
I have. Are you familiar with Tweak UI?
Yes.
Which is not University of Illinois, as far as I know. I don't know what.
Yeah, it's user interface is what the UI stands for.
Well, I had that with Windows 98. It let me manage the CD auto polling and all that.
Right.
Yeah, I just wondered, I've got XP now. Is there an equivalent for XP?
Well, you know, I believe there is. The cautionary note, of course, is that anything you do with Tweak UI, if you break things, Microsoft disclaims all responsibility.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Mission Impossible. And there was a Tweak UI. And let me just see what I can find here. And it's now actually, it's now actually called Power Toys.
Well, it used to be in the Power Toys form.
Well, I'm just looking at a website, and Microsoft actually has. I just did a Google search for Tweak UI Windows XP, and the first list is the Power Toys directory from the Microsoft site for downloads.
Oh, so I can get it there?
Yeah.
Okay, that does it. Thanks. Get on
with
your lister.
Don't do anything that you'll regret.
Okay.
Okay. Next, we talk with a listener on line three. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello.
I had a question about, we were recently converted to Internet Explorer 7.0.
Uh-huh.
And now we have difficulty loading on an FTP address. And it just keeps coming up, we cannot display this page. Internet Explorer cannot display this page. If I go into my tools
and go into the
map designations and click on the site, the FTP site that's in there,
uh-huh,
and manually open it, it will open, but nothing else.
I have heard of various difficulties with this.
With internet,
with IE7, and
yeah,
partly it is intentional. I have not yet. I can't answer this directly. We're waiting to upgrade all of our machines at once to IE7, and so we haven't quite made that change yet because there's some issues at the University of Illinois as well.
Yeah.
But I just did a search to see what I could find with this. And just doing a search on Google for IE7 and FTP, the first one is from a site, and it says, some people are missing the change, how FTP behaves. They think IE is broken or that folder FTP views has been removed, but that's not the case. It's just handled differently. And so here's a whole bunch of questions. What's up with the FTP client in Internet 7? Why can't I not remember, you know, et cetera. So that is what I would suggest doing. I unfortunately can't answer that directly because I have not yet played with it myself since I'm still one of the holdouts for IE6 until we make the big change to all of them.
Is there a place I can re-download IE6?
Boy, I don't know if you can do that, but you know what your better choice would be with IE7 is to just check a couple of these sites and see how you now deal, because you can do FTP in IE7. There are just some other settings and some things you're going to have to be aware of. I'd tell you what they were if I knew them off the top of my head, but you will find them by doing a quick search. Can you go back to IE6? Boy, not easily as far as I'm aware.
Okay, thank you very much.
But do that search, and you'll see all sorts of pages talking about exactly the experience that you're having and why it is.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Next, we talk with a listener on line four. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'll make my questions fast and brief. Couple questions. One is, just like the IE7 you were talking about, I've heard to stay away from this stuff right now. Would you comment on that? And the next question is basic. Well, it has to do with firewall and security. And I just thank you for helping me, but I just got myself a computer. I haven't gotten it set up yet, but I was trying to figure out what would be the best antivirus, worm protection, and the firewall. And in relation to that, where can I go and learn about firewall? Because I'm even scared to use something like that because I'm afraid I'll keep everyone out that I need.
Okay, well, the first question, I didn't hear the last part. The first question was whether or not to use, what, IE7?
IE7, yeah.
No. The IE7, like you're saying, there are still problems with IE7 people having. And the new Microsoft software that's coming out?
Microsoft Vista.
Vista, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, is it worth getting it, or is it worth waiting for another year or two?
If you don't need it now, if you say you just got a new computer,
yes.
It came and it was actually a new computer, like from some computer manufacturer someplace.
Yeah.
And so it would have come with Windows XP.
Correct.
Either XP Professional or XP Home.
Uh-huh.
Although for your uses, it probably doesn't matter too much. If you just got it, you actually probably got the coupon for the free update to Windows Vista.
Right.
That has a date on it. I would check and see if there's anything you need to download so that if you do decide to, at some time in a year or so, update to Vista, that you don't discover, my free upgrade expired because I didn't use it.
Okay.
I suspect that you can do everything but actually accept the installation, like get the download and get the keys before the expiration date. If you don't need Vista, there's no impelling reason to do it. With a fairly new machine, it's got some nice features. It's certainly got a pretty face to it. It does have some additional security. When you got the machine, going on to your second question, presumably for companies like Dell and HP and all of the others will include an initial subscription to one of the major antivirus companies. It might be Norton Antivirus, Symantec. It might be McAfee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only for 3 months.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think ahead because I don't always catch you because of my schedule.
Sure. The simplest thing, if it's one of the major antivirus utilities, both Symantec, the Norton Symantec, and the McAfee are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
There's no compelling reason that I'm aware of to choose one over the other.
Mm-hmm.
The key is, of course, to make sure that you have automatic updates turned on, and when the time comes that your free subscription ends, that you definitely renew it because it goes out of date, almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, simplest case, if you find that the one that it comes with is working okay, to just renew that. I don't know that there would be an impelling reason to change to the other one.
How about like penicillin? Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it, and I have not used it. The university primarily has an agreement with one of the major manufacturers to use it. So I can't give you specific.
Okay. The last question was real quickly about where can I learn about firewalls? So if I, when I do get, because I think I should get the internet security, the whole package, because I did end up having major problems with my computer, and I don't know if I got, it says no viruses, but I mean, it went to going slower than molasses in the winter. It's so slow, it's the current one, the older one, that drove me nuts. There must be something in it, so I'm thinking I should get the firewall and I should get the, the full package. So how do I learn about the firewall?
It's going to sound a bit like a broken record, but I just did a Google search for the phrase firewall tutorial. And I've got several ones. A fairly concise document for readers who want to know more about what firewalls do. Comprehensively covers main concepts. And there's a whole bunch of these, including some that are on Wikipedia and elsewhere. So that would be the best bet.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Peter Kimball. The University of Illinois is our guest this afternoon. He is Education Program Coordinator and Lead Faculty Trainer for the University's Technology Consortium, FAST 3. The markets are closed today. We have a little extra time this afternoon to spend with Peter. If you've got a question about computers, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Got another listener waiting for us on line one. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I understand that Apple is not as prone to viruses. Is that correct?
Well, you want the simple answer or the realistic answer? The answer is there are certainly not as many viruses announced for the Macintosh operating system. And in part, that is putting the cart before the horse. There aren't nearly as many Macintosh machines out there as Windows machines, and a lot of the viruses now are not just out there to be malicious. They're out there to make money for the virus writers, and so they are targeting the predominant software platform, which is Windows. Having said that, there are any operating system, whether it's Windows, even the new Windows Vista, although it's going to be more secure than XP, including Linux and the various other variants of Unix, and including the Macintosh operating system. They are millions of lines of code, and there's no way that they can be made error-free. There is a project underway, or else maybe it's going to start in March, which is the Macintosh Bug-A-Day project to publish a new bug every day that has not been patched yet by the Mac OS, just to show that nothing is perfect. So that's the long answer. The best bet would be whether you're using the Macintosh OS or whether you're using Windows, the older XP or the newer Vista, it's imperative to keep aware of updates, to subscribe to whatever common update regular update service that either Macintosh or Apple or Windows, Microsoft has available, and don't be complacent. The worst thing you could do would be have a Macintosh machine and say, I don't have to worry about security now because I'm using a Macintosh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Let's talk with another listener. Listener on line two. Hi. And we're going to go to another line. How about, what do you say we try three? Listener on line three, hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm using XP and my Internet Explorer. I used to hover the pointer over a picture, and I got a little icon at the top left corner where I could save the picture. It's not there anymore.
Well, that may be there. What you can do to save the picture in almost all cases, if it's an actual picture, you may not get the little icon, but with the mouse pointer over the image, click your right mouse button, and then you will get a pop-up menu, and from that pop-up menu, you will have the option to save the picture or to do various other things.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's talk with another listener. Line four, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
Firewall question.
Okay.
I've got, I just ran a search actually on my computer because I've always been concerned about my firewalls. And I'm just wondering, I've got AOL, they've got a new free service. How would that generally stack up against the commercial brands? The AOL is now free.
Well, that's a good question. And let me see if I can get a little bit of information for you on that. I know that AOL is looking for their future direction. So the AOL firewall, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to find all sorts of sources for AOL firewall, but let's see if I can find an AOL firewall review. The general reviews seem to be, for the most part, positive. Again, you can take a look and do some of this research and get an idea for it. What I did to just find a whole bunch of sites, you know, this is almost turning into a commercial for search engines today, is I did the search term AOL firewall review.
Okay.
Certainly AOL is trying to reinvent itself. The Internet has changed a lot since it first came into existence, and there are some who think that AOL may actually end up being acquired by Yahoo or Google or someone like that eventually. But certainly it's a, let's see, this article from the Washington Post says it's another brick in the firewall now that AOL has the firewall out. So the important thing would be to have some sort of firewall, and AOL certainly is going to be better than none at all.
Great. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Next, we talk with a listener on line one. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I have a problem with an old computer. It's a Pentium 3, and it's about 6 years old. And actually, the computer runs very well. My problem is that I would like to transfer some of the files to my computer at work, and my computer at work has only a read-write drive in it, and my computer at home only has a floppy, and I don't know how to get those files from
okay.
one to the other.
Because you just have the floppy drive, which is, of course, a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an older machine. If it's a six-year-old machine, it probably does not have a USB.
It does have a USB, but it's a one,
yes,
which megabyte or whatever they are.
Well, the USB port, the little connector on the computer,
right.
would be like a USB 1.0. That's not really the size of it. That's the generation.
Right.
And that means that it's fairly slow compared
right.
to the newer ones. But mm-hmm. you could still take, I presume you're running Windows, what are you running on here?
That's the problem. I'm running Windows 98.
Windows 98.
And I would buy a new read-write drive and put in it, or I would buy a small external hard drive and transfer files. But when I look at those at the store, they always say I must have
Windows XP.
Either Windows, no, I can find some with Windows 2000, even Windows 98, but it says Windows 98 SE, second edition.
Right, and you've got just plain old Windows 98, I guess.
Right.
All right. There's a chance that if you've got a USB port,
mm-hmm.
are we talking, I presume we're not talking about a huge number of files here.
No.
You could try. This would be my first attempt, from somebody, simply borrow one of those little thumb drives that's got a gigabyte or two of space.
Right.
Make sure they don't have anything on it that they need. Try plugging it into your USB port that's on your home machine.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's got a USB port, there's at least a chance it will be able to recognize that, and then you can simply transfer the files to that thumb drive. And then you've got them all there. You take it to your work machine, you plug it in, you read them off, and you're all set.
Okay. I looked in the stores for a thumb drive because I thought of that solution, and they also say for Windows 98 SE or above. And what I'm wondering is it going to make that much difference? Maybe I should chance it anyway.
Well, that's why I would suggest before you buy one with fairly large capacity, see if you've got a friend or someone who has one that, or it doesn't even have to be large capacity, just find one. In fact, some places even give them away free as promotions.
Mm-hmm.
But try one and see if you can actually get it out. If you can't, then you're going to have to move to perhaps an external hard drive or something. And those, you may not be very efficient with them, but there are some of those that will definitely work even with a Windows 98.
Okay, even if they say that they're only for 98 SE.
That means you're not going to be able to use their specialized software, but you may be able to use software that's already with Windows 98. But I would try the thumb drive solution first. That's likely to be the simplest if it works.
Okay. One other question. I have both of my, those ports are, I have other things in them. One's a printer and one's a scanner. Can I just disconnect that and put in the thumb drive?
Yes, you should be able to do that. I don't recall how Windows 98 handles that. I don't know if you need to specifically tell it that, but having it unplugged is not much different than having it off. You probably don't want to unplug it at the time that it's running, but when the machine is off, you should be able to unplug the scanner, and it'll just think the scanner is not on, probably.
Okay. Good luck.
Yes.
To that woman. And Peter, we want to thank you for coming in and spending the afternoon with us, or an hour of it anyway.
Yeah, we've got some extra time. It's good.
Good to talk with you. Peter Kimball of the University of Illinois. The program we do about computers, it's a topic we take up each month on the third Monday of the month.